Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. This is the Internet podcast that is designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. We are on show number 506, and I'm your host tonight, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Today is Monday, February 2nd, 2015, and apparently it is Groundhog Day.
That's right. Did he see his shadow or not?
What?
Did he see it? Does anybody know? Did he see his shadow? I don't know. I was at work all day. Did he see it or did he not?
It's going to be winter regardless. I can put money on
that.
I'm just saying. But how does he convey that he saw his shadow? How does that happen? He's a grandpa.
He comes out of his little house.
So he doesn't.
Which I'm sure he's probably terrified too, considering there's like probably millions of people standing outside like waiting on him. But
I mean, but he's not. Oh, yeah, y'all, I see it. Y'all can go back to work now. I'm just saying. Anyway,
all I got to say is he's probably got to be an extrovert kind of groundhog. That's all.
I couldn't be a groundhog. I'd be the worst groundhog. I'd be like, y'all leave me alone. I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm glad y'all are here to hang out with us tonight.
And as you can see, there's always a party going on here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us over in our Twitter party chat. It's a fun, one fun, easy way to follow our chat. You can use TweetChat while you're listening to the show at www.blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. You can open TweetChat.com using the hashtag ArmyWife. That'll kind of take out all the noise. Like if you were on Twitter normally, that tweet chat kind of takes out all the noise and focuses on one hashtag. So besides the awesome chat and the great guests, we have giveaways that you will only catch over there on Twitter. So make sure you're there because you don't want to miss out. Now you can also follow along, typically the way I do, normaltwitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. Like I said, we're always using the hashtag ArmyWife, so make sure you're using that to participate.
And tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, TDP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at MetLife.com/TRICARE or call 855-MET-TDP-1.
And tonight on our show, we have a great one for you guys. Our guest tonight will be Dr. Jeanette Raymond. And I hope I'm saying that right. It could be Jeanette. But if you guys want to follow her over on social media, you can at Dr. Jeanette, and it's JeAnnette. You can also find her over on Facebook.com/Dr. Jeanette Raymond. And then also on her website, nowyouwantmenowyoudon't.com. Later tonight, we'll also have our Money Minute for you. But before we get to that, everyone's favorite part of the show, we've got some catching up to do, don't we, Miss Ems?
Oh,
I know,
yeah,
because really.
I haven't spoken to you in forever. Let me update you on my life right now. Okay, so we'll just pretend like we've never had this conversation before. So this is my last show hosting before Charlie comes into this
before
world.
Before the human is here.
I'm so excited to meet the human.
I know.
I'd like to meet who's been killing me.
I'm about to say, I know you got some words for him. I know you do.
We're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation when he comes out. Like, I just can't handle the kicking. Like, I can't get past it for some reason. Like, I'm sitting here and he's moving around. It's like, dude, you have nowhere to be. You can relax right now. And it's so uncomfortable. I just, it's tricky and I don't like it. Like, I could be laying down and my stomach starts moving, and Tom's like, that's crazy. Like, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, you, I'm glad that you feel that way. Good talk.
I didn't so much mind, like, seeing my stomach move. It was like when she, especially with Alina, and I told you this, but she'd get her foot stuck in my rib. And, boy, let me tell you, that'll put you on your bottom. Let me just tell you. I was like, oh, my gosh.
No, that would be a problem. I was talking to my neighbor. She's got three kids under five. She's got two twins and a five-year-old. And she wants another one. I'm like, good luck with that. Let me know how that goes. She was talking about how uncomfortable it was. I'm like, I can't even imagine with two people in there. Like, the one's enough for me. I'm good. Not really, but I'm all right. Two, get your life together. That's crazy talk. Shoot. But I'm ready for him to come. He's actually going to be at the next couple of gynecological or whatever, the doctor's appointments. He's going to actually be able to come to some. And the 23rd, I have my pre-admission where they take blood and do some stuff and get to know me better. And then the 24th, I go in at 5 in the morning. I'm the second person getting either C-section, okay?
And man, like 5 in the morning, you going to make that wake-up call?
Boo. I'll tell you what, I'll get there when I get there. But the first person C-section's at 7 o'clock, mine is at 8. And I was like, I told my doctor, I was like, you have time to wash your hands? I mean, like, is that enough time for you to do what you need to do? Because it just
like a conveyor belt of pregnant women. Just come on.
Right? You're going to line them up and just slice us all down the middle? Like, I don't understand. I was like, is that enough time for you? And she was like, oh, I've done this before. You know, she's seasoned and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, but you've never done it on me before. So is that enough time for you to wash your hands in between and maybe grab a snack? And she was like, yeah, it's fine. You know, she'll do it in like 45 minutes, something like that. Like, it's fine. Like, I'm worrying for no reason. I'm like, I'm just saying, you're kind of cutting me open and pulling a person out. We need to get it together and be on the same page. And I was like, is there any way that I can have, like, special happy people drugs, like, to put me in, like, a happy place? Like, here's the thing. She's going to cut me open, okay?
Well, yeah, they're going to numb you. You're not going to feel it.
Yeah, you're not going to feel it, but you know something's happening, okay? And then
you don't want to know that anything is happening.
I want to know what's happening. Don't tell me. Just show me the baby with the hat on and the blanket wrapped around it. Just show me when you're done. But Tom, he's squeamish with fake blood on TV. This man is not even having me in those court. He don't want nothing to do with it. And so, like, we're both like, can you just bring us the baby when you're done? And so I'm like, can we have some happy pills or something? And she was like, I'm drug seeking. I'm like, not really. I need to chill out. I'm an anxious person. And she said, like, once the baby's out and everything's good, like, they would give me something to basically handle my guts being put back in. And I was like, okay, that's something. I can hang with that. Give me something while you put my guts back together. But it's going to be.
Oh, I'm sure your doctor is having a field day with you.
Imagine being my doctor. I tell you what, I'm trouble. It's hard being my doctor because I have a bunch of dumb questions. I mean, I could just imagine
his face sitting across from me while you're asking for happy people drugs.
Right. I just want to feel good. That's all. Is that a crime?
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's my life right now. Because, I mean, I've been so uncomfortable for so long. I'm so looking forward to not being uncomfortable. It's just, I can't even sleep without...
Well, no, I mean, I feel you on that. I had Alina, I carried her 2 weeks over her due day. Thank you, Army. In the middle of July in Texas. So believe me, I 42
nope.
weeks, yeah, I feel you. I know how uncomfortable that can get.
It's just, I look forward to just, like, I don't want Tylenol. I take Tylenol PM to sleep. I have a hard time sleeping because I need pillows underneath, like, my gut and stuff. And it's just, and I'm already fat, which just makes life even more complicated. and I'm only getting rounder. It's just such a mess. And, like, my pelvis is all messed up and, like, making me walk. Like, it's just, I'm done.
I look forward to
moving on with my life. And, okay, but that's it about me. We need to talk about something even more important than that, okay?
Even that's right. Countdown to 12 days.
Okay. Valentine's Day. 50 Shades of Grey.
That's right.
I'm going to have to see it probably. We talked about it, obviously, relatively often. I cannot wait for that movie to come out. And I tell you what, there's going to be duct tape and zip ties on your pillow for when you come to my house. And I'm just saying,
just to set the mood.
Get us ready. I tell you what, though, after that clip that we saw today, I'm going to be watching that movie through my fingers. I don't know, I just felt weird seeing it.
It did. For those of you that are listening, I believe it was the Today Show, they had an exclusive, like, clip, like, literally part of the movie. It's the scene where she runs into Mr. Grey in the hardware store that she works into. And I honestly think that it's just the way they gave them the clip. Like, the way he's talking, it's like he's trying to enunciate each word he says. And it was a little off, and I really think that it's just the way they gave them the clip. Like, I think if once you see it in the theater, because if you listen to the trailers and you hear him in the trailers, he doesn't sound like that. Like, he's weird in this part of this clip. And so I know, you know, maybe some people caught that. It might have made him a little bit nervous, but I really just think that once you see it in the theater setting and, you know, it's the original film, not just some small piece of it, I think it'll sound better because it did kind of give you a weird feeling, like, what's he
right,
doing?
We,
like,
we both caught that. We both were like, what's up? Like, you sound funny. Like, that's not how you sounded in my head, boo. I had to watch it through my fingers. And so, like,
I could tell it was a little off, but I honestly think it's just the quality that they gave them when they showed it. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. 12 days from now, we don't know.
I'm ready for it, girl. I'm ready for it. And it comes out that Friday before we go, so we need to stay off the social media. I don't want to hear about it until
we're going to have to unplug, like, completely.
I can't. I don't want to hear anybody's opinion.
It's going to be all over.
Because your opinion does not matter. I do not need to see that. So what's going on with you? Can we talk about you real quick? Because it is kind of about you, too.
Yeah, and besides me just counting down to Valentine's Day, basically nothing really much is going on. I was on the show last week, so nothing much has really happened between last week and this week.
Are you prepping? What are you prepping for this week?
I am starting to do a little bit of purging. Most of our listeners who listen regularly probably know that I am supposed to PCS. My husband comes back from his hardship tour in Korea this summer, and then we're supposed to move on to a next duty assignment. And he's trying to find out now, like, we're trying to get it locked down. We know what they've told us, but we all know in the Army things can change rapidly. And so he's trying to, you know, get in contact now with branch and stuff. And so I'm kind of just on pins and needles because I'm in a situation where I kind of have to know, like, you know, there's some job offers that might be coming my way, and so I just kind of need to know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I know what my next move will be, so.
Doesn't it feel good
on that,
purge,
but I have,
though?
Like, around the house and stuff, I've kind of started, like, the purge process, like, you're not coming with us. You know?
And I said that to my children. No, I honestly, like, purging is, like, my favorite part about PCS. I love getting rid of stuff. Like, it sat around for a few years and I'm done looking at it. I love getting rid of stuff. A little too much, actually. Probably because of my mother. I have mommy issues. But I love getting rid of stuff. But I hope that Fort Hood falls through and Fort Rucker's on the list. That's all I'm saying. I'm just throwing that out there. for the university.
Well, I told him, I'm like, I'm okay with Georgia because obviously we'd like to retire in Georgia. I'm okay with Rutgers and I'm okay with Texas. Anywhere else, going to be a little bit hard to swallow. So.
Yeah, I'll say a prayer for Dan if he tells you anywhere else. I'll say a lot of prayers today.
So y'all just keep your fingers crossed for us.
Yes, I hear you.
All right, guys, we are going to go ahead and move over and go take a look at what's happening over at AWN.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, guys, our general hot topic of conversation over at Army Wife Network this week was about a congressional panel that's urging the shift away from TRICARE on pension plans for military. Now, this is a congressional panel that was created by Congress, and on Thursday they recommended some sweeping changes to pensions and health care following its two-year review of the military's compensation and retirement systems. Now, the military should auto-enroll about 1 million troops in the Thrift Savings Plan and offer contributions to the accounts throughout their service as an alternative to the current retirement system. Now, the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission said TRICARE health insurance should be replaced with an array of private provider options to save money and improve access. Now, this is just a little bit of what came out of this commission. Obviously, it's been a hot topic in the military community. The big word of the day was grandfathered in for those that are currently serving. But if you'd like to learn more about what the commission's findings were and how it might affect you and your family, we will provide you the link to that story in our Twitter party chat. So educate yourselves, guys. Go over there, read the commission's findings. You know, do it for yourself. Educate yourselves on what this means for you, your family, and the military as a whole. But you definitely want to be on top of what's going on.
And hot on AWN this week is a blog from AWN Experience contributor Sarah. So moving to Alaska can be quite an experience for a military family. I can only imagine. Sarah shares how her family made it to the Great Frozen North, and as an added bonus, she shared a yummy recipe with us to fight off the cold. Check out Sarah's blog under the Experience Household section of ArmyWifeNetwork.com, and the link will be thrown into Twitter.
And also, speaking of Army Wife Network Facebook, one of our graphics this week did really, really well. We want to thank our one of our support team members, Cheryl, for her awesome graphics this month. It's one of our Did You Know? Spending 15 minutes every weekday morning mapping out your day can save you an average of 6 hours of wasted time during your work week. So do you spend a few minutes in the morning planning your day, or do you maybe do it the night before? Well, it's more important than ever. Want to save up that time. So we'll include a link so that you can go over and take a look at that awesome graphic. Please share it. We'd love to get it passed around. And thanks for hanging out at Army Wife Network's Facebook page.
I do not spend a few minutes planning at all. I kind of just go.
You should. I do.
If it feels right, I do it. This is the joy of being a stay-at-home mom. At first I used to clean while Matthew went to school. And then I talked to my best friend about it, and she's like, why would you waste that precious time cleaning when you could be watching Dr. Phil? And that changed my world. So during the day while he's at school, I watch TV, and then in the evening I do, like, the household stuff. And then I throw in, like, work every now and then. I don't really plan much. I live a lot.
Everybody knows what I'll say. Cozy. My whole life is mapped out on Cozy.
Right.
Like,
right? Yes.
My game plan every day.
Your TV show Excel spreadsheet, okay? Like, what? You are the exact opposite of me in so many ways. Like, the fact that we are such good friends blows my mind. Because it kills me.
Until I start trying to get you to make data sheets with your TV shows. Then it's over. This is over.
Right? I love you.
I can't help it, dude. I'm like an organizational, like, freak. Like, that's how I have to operate. I just have to.
I know. You send me a picture of your spice rack.
Hey, that thing is awesome.
I love that.
For all you listeners, I highly recommend the new spice rack on the As Seen on TV. Go to Walmart, pick them up, Walgreens, wherever you need to go. Definitely recommend those.
Okay, my turn. Okay, so last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. Applications available for the 2015 Corvius Foundation Educational Grant for spouses of active duty service members. Corvius Foundation, a White House award-winning private charitable foundation committed to supporting the pursuit of higher education, are still accepting applications for the 2015 Educational Grant. The foundation is committed to supporting military families in the pursuit of higher education and has awarded more than $5.5 million in scholarships and grants to children and spouses of active duty service members since 2006. Applications for the 2015 Educational Grants must be submitted by May 7, 2015. Grants are given in varying amounts up to $5,000 to spouses of active duty service members stationed at the military installations listed below, which I will get to. Applicants may be in any stage of the educational process. Corvius Foundation will select 10 spouses of active duty service members stationed at Fort Meade, Bragg, Polk, Rucker, Riley, and Still, Aberdeen Proving Ground, Edwards Air Force Base, Eglin Air Force Base. I'm probably going to screw this up, but Eielson Air Force Base, Hurlburt Field, McConnell Air Force Base, and Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. Recipients of a grant will be notified in July 2015. Applications and all necessary paperwork for the educational grants must be submitted by the due date in order to be considered. Those chosen may begin using their scholarship or grant in the fall of 2015. Individuals do not have to reside in on-post or base housing in order to qualify. Eligible service members stationed at these 13 Army and Air Force installations can serve in any branch of the military. Applications are available now at CorviusFoundation.org. Please email info@CorviusFoundation.org or call 401-282-836 with any questions about eligibility or the application process. I'm out of breath, man. I am fat. I'll tell you what. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWS News 6 Gen, bringing you the neat news stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. Plus, money can be saved. We offer affordable monthly premiums for an individual depending on sponsor status with little or no cost shares on many dental services. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental Coverage requires enrollment. The TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP for more details. So your family's smiles are protected and you can start saving today. Again, that number is 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP. Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen bringing you all your need-to-know news. As Sergeant Major of the Army, Raymond Chandler retires, his successor, Dan Daly, outlines his top priorities.
Dan Daly was sworn in Friday as the 15th Sergeant Major of the Army. He succeeds Sergeant Major of the Army Raymond Chandler, who is retiring after 34 years of service. As he settles into his new assignment, Daly's top priorities include developing adaptive leaders. At the top of his list is enlisted professional military education. Nothing in the Army happens without leadership, Daly said. We are not a material service. We don't have the big boats. We don't have the airplanes, but what we do have is people. Maintaining a globally responsive, regionally engaged Army. From the perspective of where soldiers need to focus on is unit readiness and training, Daly said. Our non-commissioned officers have always been the bedrock of training soldiers on what they need to do to perform their basic responsibilities and collective tasks on the battlefield, and I need them to continue to focus on that. The Army profession. The Army must continue to work on issues such as sexual harassment and assault prevention, Daly said. Preserving the all-volunteer force. Daly said he understands soldiers and their families are worried about the ongoing drawdown and all the change that is happening around them. Very understandably, it should be a focus on their minds, he said. It's important to realize that we are going to get smaller. It's something we've done historically after every major war. But we also have requirements for the defense of the nation. The Department of Defense has launched a new child care website designed to ease PCS transition. Finding child care can be one of the biggest challenges during a PCS, Barbara Thompson, Director of Military Community and Policy's Office of Family Policy, Children and Youth with Special Needs, said. To help streamline and standardize the search for child care at a new duty station, the Defense Department unveiled militarychildcare.com, an online resource to help military, DOD civilian, and contractor families find an array of military-operated and military-subsidized child care options for children between the ages of 4 weeks and 12 years, Thompson said. Child care is a workforce issue that impacts the readiness and retention of the force, Thompson said. As families relocate to other areas, it's really challenging to make sure your child care needs are being met. And this tool gives parents an opportunity in advance to find those child care spots that will work for their family. Using the website, families can customize their search, put their children on waiting lists, and monitor requests for placement, Thompson said. The child care website is currently being tested at military bases across the world and is expected to be fully functional worldwide in September 2016. The new study examines the impact of service dogs on veterans with PTSD. The VA and several groups, including Canine Companion, launched a study in December to find the correlation between service dogs and veterans dealing with PTSD. The group involved have vowed to answer the question, can service dogs improve activity and quality of life in veterans diagnosed with post-traumatic stress? The study will follow 220 veterans from three regions of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia, Iowa City, Iowa, and Portland, Oregon. Half the veterans will receive service dogs, and the other half will receive emotional support dogs. After the veterans receive their dogs, study teams will visit the veterans in their homes quarterly to check the safety of the dogs and the veterans and to assess their impact. The VA will be enrolling veterans for the next 2 years. Once enrolled, the assessments begin. The study will take 18 months after the veterans receive their dogs. The study is open to veterans of any conflict, VA officials said. Veterans must be 18 or older, meet eligibility requirements, and live in an area served by the Atlanta, Iowa City, or Portland VA medical centers. That's your need-to-know news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing out.
Today, nearly half our nation's fighting forces are members of the Guard and Reserve. When they are called to active duty, they leave behind a family, a community, and a job. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590 or visit esgr.mil.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Tonight we have with us Dr. Jeanette Raymond, a psychologist and psychotherapist with a private practice in Los Angeles, California. Born in Calcutta, India, she was educated in Great Britain, getting her master's in education before beginning her career as a child and educational psychologist. After settling in America, Dr. Raymond obtained her PhD in clinical psychology and switched her focus to helping adults establish more secure relationships. She specializes in conflicts and fears that prevent healthy intimacy and thrive in all types of relationships.
Dr. Raymond writes regularly about the obstacles that get in the way of developing intimacy, including relationship stress, childhood trauma, anxiety, and anger. She is frequently quoted by publications and contributes articles for other sites. We are so very pleased to welcome to our show Dr. Raymond. Are you there, Doctor?
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, we normally start our segments off, Dr. Raymond, by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Okay, well, I'm calling from Los Angeles, and the sun is just going down, so it's a beautiful sunset with pink in the sky. And I've been a psychologist for about 20 or 30 years, coming up to 30 years, and I practiced with families and children and adults. And right now, I'm working a lot with couples and families in what, you know, the dance that they do in kind of wanting to be close, but then they're afraid they might get hurt or they might get misunderstood and they might get swallowed up and all sorts of things. So there's a lot of dancing around that couples and families have to do when they want to get that closeness just right. And that's what I'm focusing on now, is helping the individuals, you know, whether it's in a couple or people in the family, kind of look at what their needs are and how difficult it is for them to be okay with them, let other people know what they are so that they can get them met and not feel ashamed or bad or try to cover it up.
Dr. Raymond, I'm so glad to have you on the show. Can we start talking about emotional intimacy and what that is exactly and why it's necessary in a romantic relationship?
Okay, good. So, you know, when most people think of the word intimacy, they think about sex. But actually, sex is not the only way of being intimate. Your bodies might be close, but emotionally, you could both be on different planets. So emotional intimacy is being close and kind of naked in your emotional place. So your partner or your, you know, whoever you happen to be with, but, you know, family members, they can actually see what's going on inside you. You know, that you might be scared or you might be needing some comfort or you might be angry with them or whatever. It's kind of taking the covers off, you know, unmasking the inside part so that we're not always pretending to be something, or we feel one thing but we show something else on the outside so nobody really knows what's going on, and then where everybody gets hurt and upset and they feel they have to walk on eggshells or they go to their little corners and pout. So emotional intimacy is about being comfortable with sharing your feelings in the moment. It's not about 10 years ago or 2 weeks ago when you said this, that, and the other. It's in the moment. So let's say you're in the market together and you're going down the aisle and you're looking at different cereals or whatever. You're sharing your feelings in the moment. Oh, my God, my foot's hurting, or I stubbed my toe, or look at that kid over there, they might get hurt. You know, whatever's going on for you in the moment, you're sharing it. So your partner or your family member kind of gets to take the temperature of where you're at, and then they can tell you about where they're at. So everybody knows where the other person's at, and they don't say something or act in a way that's off the mark that usually sparks fights and conflicts.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Dr. Raymond, because I know for military families, you know, when our soldiers are deploying and that when they're gone for long periods of time, when you talk about intimacy, like, for instance, like when, with my husband being overseas right now, it's like, yeah, you miss the sexual contact, but you miss more just having that person there, like having that person that, yeah, you know, you sit down with at the end of the day and just talk about your day, or that person that's just always there, you know, listening. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of what, yeah, I know for me, that's what I miss more, you know what I'm saying, than just the physical part, yeah, of it.
Yeah, it's having, it's knowing that somebody's with you on the journey that you've been on and you're going on in that moment, and that you're okay sharing it, because a lot of times people are not okay. So let's talk,
right,
about a soldier going away. Everybody says, oh, we got to be strong and we can't show that we're going to miss each other or whatever. You know, we have to be, not cry and do all these sorts of things. So there's a lot of pressure on people to be strong and not to show their feelings, or to do,
right,
it in a way that doesn't allow the full range of emotion. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it, because if you show it, people are going to know where they're at, and then you invite the other person to do likewise. So you're actually building your, what I see it as, you're weaving a cloth together that during your absence, that's going to hold you together, because then that's what you created together. You know, otherwise, if you put your armor on and the other person puts their armor on, you might as well not be married or have a relationship, because you're not connected.
Right,
and,
right.
Well,
let me ask you,
I'm
this,
sorry,
Doctor. What are some of the most common mistakes people make when they are trying to get emotionally close to their partners? What are some of the things that they get in the way?
Okay, so I want to preface this by saying that most people think that in order to please their family members or partners and make them feel special, they have to give them things or do things for them. So it becomes one step removed from you. Look at the flowers I bought you. Look at the cake I got you. Look at the beautiful card I got you for Valentine's. Or look how hard I work to clean the house. Or look how hard I work to make the exact meal that you wanted on your way home from work, or something like that. So it's not about me. It's what I did or what I gave you. You know, I gave you money, I gave you gifts, and they expect that to be what makes the other person happy, that should make them feel valued and happy and special. And it's not true. I mean, think how many times we've received money in the mail or something like that when we'd rather have had a 10-minute phone call with that person and really felt close to them. So giving things like flowers or taking people to dinner or buying them vacations and all that, it doesn't really cut it in terms of emotional intimacy, because anybody can do that. What,
right,
what it takes to be really in close emotionally is to give of yourself. You have to be emotionally available. You have to be tuned in. You have to be living in the present moment. And I can't tell you how many people I see, even sitting 1 foot away from the other in my office, one person is really not tuned into the other, and so they don't want to be close. They're not caring about each other's feelings in the moment. They're not curious. They're not available. So the other person says, well, I might as well be talking to the wall. That's how they feel. And yet they're sitting, you know, 12 inches away from each other. So that's the mistake they make, is thinking that just being present in the room is enough, rather than actually being emotionally available, where you focus on what that person is saying, what they're trying to communicate, what they need from you in that moment. So that's a couple of the biggest mistakes that they make. And I'll say more if you want, but I wanted to give you a chance to respond.
Dr. Raymond, I'm curious, why are some people afraid of letting their partners get emotionally close to them? I mean, if you're married to someone, shouldn't,
right,
that be a given?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? It's very rarely the case. And most of the time what I find is married couples have had, you know, in their own way before they got married, they had this kind of fantasy that, you know, I'm going to be the housekeeper, you're going to be the breadwinner, you know, I'll do the garden, you do the school run, I'll do this and you do that. So they kind of go into playing roles rather than being close to one another. And I work with so many couples where the idea of being close to one another emotionally is terrifying to them. It's absolutely terrifying because it means that they have to be available to actually listen to what their partner might be feeling, which isn't always good all the time. And then they feel like, oh, my God, it's too much. I can't handle it. I don't know how to fix it. It's not what I signed up for and all those sorts of things. So I'll just give you one example. I was seeing a client today that I see often and I have seen for a number of years. And he said, you know, his wife was said quite clearly, you know, I'm tired and, you know, I'm dealing with some bad stuff. So she kind of checked out and he got it. You know, he's not been there before. He took the kids and gave her some room. But then he started to get very, very angry because he felt like she didn't want him. And it was very hard for me to help him see what was going on inside her. He didn't want to see what was going on inside her. He didn't want to be emotionally available for her. And all he said is, I don't care, because of his own childhood traumas, which I know we'll come into. But they don't want to see what's going on for the other person because they feel like then they will be wiped out. So it's an either or. Either I'm focusing on them, which means I don't exist, or if I exist, then they can't exist. You know, and that's probably an experience they had growing up. They also feel that if they get close emotionally, if they get close emotionally, then they will see how needy the other person is, and, oh, my God, this is who I married? Or they'll see me as needy, and they'll run away from me. They'll get disgusted. They'll think I'm clingy, and I'm not strong enough and all that. So they'll think I'm bad and ugly and they'll run away. So they put these kind of masks on and pretend to be something they're not. And yet they get angry and furious and enraged when their emotional needs are not met. But they keep hiding them.
Right, exactly. No, I understand completely what you're saying. How do these fears develop in people? Like, how do they become... You know, how does this kind of grow inside of them?
Okay, so I'm going to split the question into two because it's a little bit different for men and for women, there is some commonality. So in general, for both men and women, you know, if they were growing up in a household where the message was, and it's usually a tacit message, it's not like said every day, that, you know, if you have emotional needs, then you're not strong and you should grow up and you should learn to handle it and you're being a big baby if you can't handle things. So the kids grow up thinking, well, gosh, you know, I have a need that I need to share this experience. I need to understand this. I don't know what happened. I don't get this. I'm confused. But nobody wants to share that experience because they're being a baby. So they learn to minimize their needs, hide it, put it in a lockbox or whatever. And then when they get married, they think, oh, finally, I found someone who's interested in me. Maybe they'll want to know. And so they start exposing it, and they get this reaction with, no, that's not who I married. I married a strong person. You're not supposed to have any needs. Go back to your, put it back in the box. So they get this constant message that you're not supposed to have needs. You shouldn't care about understanding your feelings or anyone else's. It's wrong. You are putting a burden on your mother or your father or your siblings or whatever. So that's the general thing. Now, for men, in my experience, they get the message very, very young that they have to show their masculinity by avoiding expressing their feelings either in their body language or in words, that they have to kind of translate it and make it into something strong. Aha, you know, make fun of other people and then you can be strong and don't hide it. So they kind of lose touch with it, which is why women later on think that men don't care about feelings. They do. They've just been told to hide them and translate them into something they're not. So only feel strong feelings. Don't feel your vulnerability. Don't feel your need to be understood and cared for and valued for who you are rather than all the jobs that you do. Now, for women, it's a little different. Again, this is just my experience. I've noticed that women growing up often get the message that they're supposed to take care of everybody else's emotions. You know, you're the rock on which everyone else depends. You're the shoulder that they cry on. And it doesn't matter whether you're six, whether you're six or 26. That's the image. So women grow up thinking, okay, I'm the sponge. I have to absorb everybody else's stuff and try and be sympathetic and consoling and so on. But what about me? What about my feelings? What do I do with them? And the message is, you're not supposed to have any. You just take care of everybody else. So they grow up, again, learning that their needs are bad. They have to be ashamed of them. It's wrong. You have to just take care of everybody else. And they kind of, and this message is usually passed in households where the parents are very emotionally needy because they didn't get it from their parents, so it's kind of intergenerational. And the women, the girls and the boys are pushed into taking care of their parents in different ways and not themselves. So again, when they find somebody, okay, finally at last I can have somebody just for me, they're going to take care of me, and they have like however many years they've been alive, 20 years of stuff waiting to be get taken care of, and then lo and behold, within the first year of marriage, it ain't going to be like that. It's going to be just like it was before I got married. Oh, what do I do now?
Wow. Right.
That was a lot. That was like... Yeah. That was, I mean, that's incredibly interesting because I would have to say that I have, you know, I have periods of struggling with emotional intimacy because I'm in my own head a lot. And
yes.
I forget that my husband can't read my mind as much as I want him to. But Dr. Raymond, what are some of the signs that your partner is afraid of emotional intimacy?
Okay, so the most... the easiest sign to notice is when your partner is always busy and they say, oh, well, later, you know, not now, later, but I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you never get a chance to actually have 2 minutes with them where they're looking at you and you can actually talk and share an experience as opposed to doing jobs and figuring out roles. So when somebody keeps fobbing you off and saying they're busy, 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 but it's not just the busyness. It's look how good I am because I'm working so hard for you. That's the kind of busyness that's afraid, that tells you that they're afraid of emotional intimacy because they make you feel like they're doing it for you. So how dare you ask them to stop and attend to you in another way? So that's one sign, you know, that they're very busy. Another sign is that when you, and you might find this very counterintuitive, so that's why I'm kind of letting you know. Supposing you compliment them, oh, what a lovely dinner you made. Or, you know, I noticed that you took a lot of time to dress and look nice, you know, when we went out tonight. So you're coming naturally, you're giving them a compliment. And the first thing they do is dismiss it. Oh, you don't really mean it. You're just saying it because you think I need to, you're trying to make up for hurting me yesterday. Or, you're just saying it to be polite. I don't know if, you know, you're just saying it because we have guests. So they kind of don't,
That sounds
you've been
like me, by the way. Just like me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah. It is so much a way of saying, don't come close to me because I can't handle it. Put your focus on what I do, not on me as a human being because I can't handle it. It's too scary for me if you're actually looking into my soul. So they can't handle compliments. Go on.
Sorry, you're speaking my language. I hear what you're saying, and I
you can feel it.
I feel that way. Yes, I do.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Raymond, we do have to take a quick break. We do want to tell our listeners not to forget that the AWN core team has some fun discussion taking place over in our Twitter party chat. Plus, we have a giveaway going on as well. So head on over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork. We're using the hashtag ArmyWife over there. So be sure you're using that to participate. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Dr. Raymond and get some tips on for our military spouses when our soldiers return home from deployments and some other great information. So stay tuned. Army Wife Talk Radio will be back in just a moment.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
That all-important number in the world of borrowing, your credit score, doesn't really exist as one single number. This is a Defending Your Cash Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. You could have dozens of scores, but all scoring models have a common purpose. They examine current and past credit behaviors to predict if you're likely to pay back money that a lender is contemplating loaning to you. J.J. Montanaro, a certified financial planner practitioner with USAA, gives reasons why you could have so many scores. Different creators. FICO is the company that created credit scoring, and VantageScore, created by the credit bureaus themselves, is also a form of credit scoring. Since not all lenders report the same information to each bureau, your score may be different based on which database is used. There's a score designed to determine how much risk you are in general, and scores that gauge your risk specifically for a car loan, credit card, or mortgage. If you manage your credit well, everything will fall into place, no matter how your score is calculated. This Defending Your Cash Minute is made possible by USAA. USAA offers a suite of financial services online at USAA.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. We are talking with Dr. Raymond, author of Now You Want Me, Now You Don't, Fear of Intimacy, 10 Ways to Recognize Fear of Intimacy, and 10 Ways to Manage It in Your Relationship. Before we went to break, we were kind of breaking down what intimacy is and some of the things that keep us from getting close with our partners and some of the things that keep our partners from getting closer with us. Now we're going to kind of move into some stuff that's specific for military spouses. Dr. Raymond, as you may know, military spouses recognize some signs of emotional intimacy or even physical intimacy, as we talked about earlier, those fears when soldiers return home from deployments or stressful situations. Can you give us some tips on making our partners feel safe enough to get close again?
Well, sure. So let's rewind a little bit to when you're anticipating your soldier coming home. You're excited, they're excited, you've been on Skype, you said, I can hardly wait to see you. You build up this momentum on both sides, and you can hardly wait. You know, you can't even sleep the night before. You imagine, you know, being back in each other's arms and feeling the warmth and the togetherness, and it's so wonderful that you're almost in ecstasy. And then what happens? You have that hug, and you try to tell them your stuff, and they try to tell you their stuff, and it doesn't work because there's a problem here. Because what we try to do when we haven't seen each other for a long time and we've built up and built up and built up, we imagine that our partner has enough emotional room for all the things we want to tell them. And they imagine the same thing. So if you think of an emotional stomach, yours is full up with all the things you want to say and share. Theirs is full up with all the things they want to say and share in person. And there's no room. So it, both of you are feeling unseen, unwanted, you know, hey, where did all that love go? We were so excited the day before, and it's not there now. So one of the things we have to remember is we have to give the information we want in teaspoonfuls, not bucket loads. Because if you do that, your partner shuts down, and you feel like, hey, why don't they care anymore? They were caring on Skype yesterday. What's happened? You know, don't they? Do they want to be back in Afghanistan again? Is that, you know, are they missing their mates more than me? So it can be very hurtful. So the first thing I would suggest is be very particular about what you want to share in very, very small doses, and always check in and see where they are, because it's very hard for you to give a reaction to what you're hearing or feeling that the other person may misread. Am I making any sense?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it resonating with you?
Emily's just trying to take this all in.
I am, because you know what? Between my husband and I would be, I'm the one with the emotional intimacy issues. Because he's way more vocal and touchy-feely and all that, and I'm more in my head.
Right. And see, for me, Dr. Raymond, it's the opposite. It's where I feel like my husband is the one that's more distant when it comes to emotional intimacy, and I'm the one that's more, you know, touchy-feely and open, and let's talk about this. And so you kind of got both sides of the spectrum here tonight.
Yeah, which is great, because I mean that's how it goes, you know. So the one who's bursting to share everything right away, you know, what happens for the other person is they can feel a little bit overwhelmed because it's coming too fast, too soon, simply because you miss each other so much and you can hardly wait.
Yeah.
And they might be overwhelmed, you know, and it's not your fault, because remember, we don't know, well, you might know, but I don't know what their childhood experience was. You know, they may have had a very overpowering mother, or an intrusive parent, or something like that. So in those moments, just when they're coming back, they might re-experience that trauma because of your excitement in meeting them again. And the other way around, you know, if your soldier is the one who's wanting the closeness and the intimacy and wants to get into it right away, and you're not feeling, you know, that you can go there in one step, you need to do it like in 10 steps, then they might, your soldier husband might have come from a background where in their family they just spewed out everything as it happened. It all went in the cauldron,
yes.
It all was mixed up, and they didn't, and nobody felt overwhelmed because that was just their experience. But for you, it might be very, very unsettling and confusing and destabilizing. You know, so you kind of have to take that into account. And, you know, what I suggest is before your soldier comes home, think about how many Skype sessions you're going to have before that, or phone or whatever. And at least five before, you need to start making the plan of how it's going to be when you get back, and talk about your feeling of needing a moment, or, you know, you need a hug right away or whatever. So it's almost like preparing for that moment, knowing what your particular issues are. So one of you will feel like, oh, it's too much for me, and the other one will feel it's too little.
Yeah.
You know, so
and that
you,
is exactly right. I would have to say my husband comes from a family where there were no secrets. You knew how everyone felt at all times, and I don't come from that. I come from, if you have something to say, keep your mouth shut. So it's like, he comes from a different dynamic than I do.
Right. And so there's a struggle there. Yeah, okay. So one way of describing what you just said is, in your husband's family, when he grew up, people didn't have boundaries. It's probably not just secrets. Everybody said what they did and said it out loud, and they didn't respect each other's boundaries, right? So what you're experiencing when he wants to do the same with you, albeit through excitement and love, it's not malicious, you're feeling an invasion of your boundaries. And you want to kind of tighten them up in that time because you're feeling like you're not inviting him in. He's just barging in.
And
you're, you don't get to invite him and open the door a little bit and open it a bit more and a bit more and do it at your pace, you know. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel safe for you. So you might just withdraw altogether and just do the physical things like, you know, have a hug or let's, you know, walk the dog or something like that. And
right.
For people who are feeling unsafe, that's exactly what I would recommend. So with your husband, you know, you might tell him, look, I don't feel safe when you do it. I get that you came from a different family, but I feel invaded because, you know, in my family, we had too strict of boundaries. You know, it's not just that you had boundaries. They were way, way too strict.
Right.
So, you know, you might want to bond in a way that you do a little activity together, but it's very personal to you. You know, so it's something that only you two will feel close doing. And then very gradually he'll tell you a little snippet of information about how he felt coming in. And you will tell him a little snippet of what it was like, you know, for the hour while you were waiting for the plane to land or whatever. You give little tiny bits of information and then slowly you build a bit bigger picture. And then you don't, neither of you feels like you're being excluded or invaded.
Dr. Jeanette, what is one key element of emotional intimacy that people can practice on a daily basis?
Okay, so the best one is being in the here and now, so in the moment. So let's imagine you're at the dinner table and you're feeling, you know, irritated because somebody's chewing with their mouth open or they're making a noise or whatever. You know, like in your family, it would be keep your mouth shut, don't say anything. In your husband's family, it would be, you know, tell him to shut it, do something else. So what we want to do in emotional intimacy is to just acknowledge for yourself, first of all, what you're feeling, and then try and express it in a way that isn't accusatory or blaming or, you know, nasty, but it's really just respecting your feeling and saying it, you know, and showing where you're at. So being in the here and now, sharing where you're at, no matter where you are, whether you're in a car, whether you're, like I said, in the market, at the table, walking your dog, you know, doing laundry, whatever it is, if you share where you're at, you're giving your partner or whoever's with you a moment-to-moment temperature taking of your emotional experience. So they know where you are, they tell you where they are, and together you either up the temperature because it's too cold or you lower the temperature because it's too hot. But it's basically being in the here and now, you're talking about what's going on right now in the moment, not 10 years ago or 2 days ago, or
right.
Going into the future because that's going into anxiety.
Right.
So, you know, either way, if you go into the past or the future, you're not with your partner, so you can't be intimate. But if
right.
You want
no,
to be
I understand what you're saying. Dr.
Yeah.
Raymond, you have been phenomenal. We've gotten so much great information from you. We do have to go ahead and wrap up, but before I let you go, I wanted you to let our listeners know where they could go to find out more information.
Oh, sure. Well, I have a website called nowyouwantmenowyoudon't.com. So you can go there and listen to other interviews. I've got a page on all the different kinds of fears of emotional intimacy. I've got lots of videos on there and blogs. It's a mine of information, and, you know, you can keep doing it at your pace and seeing what attracts you. So that's a good place to go.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight,
thank
Dr. Raymond.
Oh, my pleasure, and I wish you all peace and safety and good relationships.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much.
We appreciate you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
To our listeners, we want to thank you so much for being with us tonight, and congratulations. I'm not sure. I don't think we had a coffee winner tonight, did we? Guys, you got to come join us in our Twitter party chats. We want to give away some free stuff. So hopefully next week you guys will be listening and get in on the conversation so we can give you something for free. Next week, though, February 9th, 2015, on our show, we will be featuring Dr. Carr Pillemer and his 30 Lessons for Loving, so you don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert comments, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, or YouTube.
That's Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week, everyone.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.